Welcome to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger, and this is the program for you as a family caregiver. And I'm so glad that you are with us today. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. If you want to find out more about what we do, why we do it, how we do it, who we're doing it for, and if you are a family caregiver, then that would be you. If you're not a family caregiver, give it time. You will be. And when that time comes, we'll be here for you as well. More than 65 million Americans right now serve as a family caregiver. They are putting themselves between a chronically impaired loved one and even worse disaster. How do you help that person stay strong and healthy as they take care of someone who is not? And I'm not talking about just physically healthy. I'm talking about emotionally, fiscally. That's financially for those of you in McDuncan. And spiritually, how do you do this? What does that look like? And that's what we talk about here on this program, and we're glad you're with us. I am resuming this broadcast from the beautiful town of Aurora, Colorado, where ICE is coming to arrest a lot of people, evidently. There are a lot of Venezuelan gangs not terribly far from us. We're here at the hospital with my wife, who just had her 87th operation. She will have her 88th in a couple of weeks. I am safe where I am. I'm not too worried about it. It's on the other side of Aurora from what I understand. I don't know. I did go to a grocery store the other day, and it was a bit gnarly because, you know, they got everything. I bought some laundry detergent because, you know, we're going to be here 2 months, so I have to buy some laundry detergent. And you got to go find somebody with the key to be able to get laundry detergent. And then I went to check out at the front, and they don't have any bags out there. You got to get somebody to go get the bags because somebody just picks up all the bags and runs out with them. There's an armed officer at the grocery store. And this is just, I mean, less than a mile down the road here from me. And I felt like I was taking my life in my hands to go to this store. It's called King Super. That's the name of it. It's owned by Kroger, but it didn't feel so super. I tell you, I try to imagine what Trump would say. Peter, I said, sir. I said, Peter, you're in Aurora. There's a lot of Venezuelan gangs there. Some bad hombres. You need to be careful. We got Tom Holman coming. Oh, he's a big guy. He's a tough guy. And we're going to get him out. We're going to send him back. They're going to go. They don't belong here. Get him out of here. It's going to be so tremendous. So fabulous. So stay safe so we can get your laundry detergent to you. Get it to you quick. We're going to get you your laundry detergent. How many people want laundry detergent? And we're going to have those higher water pressure washing machines. We like those. And when you wash your hair, your beautiful hair. Peter, you got beautiful hair. Oh, I've seen your hair, Peter. It's so beautiful. It's tremendous. And we want you to have lots of water pressure to be able to wash that hair and get your shampoo without having to call a manager. So it was a little bit surreal. I mean, where I live in Montana, there are times I go into the store and I'll just leave the car running. You know, I've done that plenty of times. It's cold outside, you know. And so I just go in there. We got a little dollar store near us and just leave it running or go in to drop off something. You know, I can't do that here. And a friend of mine let me borrow his car. And so I'm very careful to lock it up and park in a high visibility area. It's been a while since I've lived in a high crime area, and they're trying to, you know, gentrify this down here by the hospital a little bit and putting in some nice apartments and condos and so forth. And it's, I think they'll eventually do it, but it's so unnecessary. It's truly unnecessary. You know, what do I say on this program about caregivers? I'm sorry, I'm kind of delving into this a little bit. I'll get to Gracie here in a minute. She's doing fine. The surgery went well. But you know, what I say, healthy caregivers make better caregivers. Well, what about healthy communities? Healthy communities. This is not healthy to have this. And you've got such crime and you've got such, it's just awful. And I'm thinking, this is no way for us in the United States of America to be living. And we can do better. And I'm hoping that we will as a country. We've got to get, just like when you're dealing with a trauma, you got to cut off the bleeders at first and stop the hemorrhaging going out before you can start actually repairing and suturing up and everything else. And so we've got a lot of crime. And evidently here, they've got these Venezuelan gangs that go marauding about and you've got to deal with them. And so you know, Gracie says, look, you cannot go, you cannot walk back to that. I said, the hotel's just right across the street. She said, you cannot walk back at night. And I don't want you walking back during the day. Well, I need the exercise. I'm still trying to lose some weight here, you know, and I do need the exercise. But I don't walk back at night. I'll take an Uber. We don't have Uber where I live in Montana. We have Goober. And that's, you know, that's what we have. And so I'll do that. And then, like I said, a friend of mine now has let me borrow his car. So I feel stupid though, because it's literally across the street. I can walk there in less than 10 minutes. And, you know, but at night it is not safe. I was sitting here last year when we were here for this long stretch, and some guy, there's a holding pond right here between the hotel and the hospital. And some guy had just driven his car out into the holding pond. I mean, it was kind of crazy. There were so many sirens and so forth and police ambulances. And then the next day they got him out. They had the wrecker out there to do it, but they had scuba guys. And it was in the wintertime. I thought, boy, that's a job I wouldn't want to do. So it's just a different world, but I'm getting used to it. I know this hospital now pretty well. This is our 13th hospital for Gracie to be inpatient in over her 40-year journey of this, and I've lost track of how many doctors have treated her, more than 100, which is, you know, pretty intense. But she's doing well. She gets great care here. They have, now she's been in kind of a step-down unit, not ICU, but not a regular floor, in a surgical step-down, they call it, whatever, but she gets a lot of care because she has quite an exotic program to be able to take care of her post-op. You can't go through what she's gone through and just treat her normally. And I really respect the care team that she has. They have given great deference to the level of trauma that Gracie has endured in her lifetime. And they look after her well, but they have just a different philosophy of care. They have service animals that go around with designated personnel. And so she's been able to have two different dogs come into the room and just love on her. And it's so precious. I'll put those out on social media if you want, and you can go take a look. I'll try to put them in the Hope for the Caregiver group, which you can join, by the way, if you're not on Facebook. It's Hope for the Caregiver page, and then there's Hope for the Caregiver group. You have to answer a few questions on that one, and we try to keep that a little tight. And I'll try to put those pictures out if you want to see. It's really cute. One of them was a big English sheepdog, and I thought, this dog comes in, he's got his little vest. Oh, her name is Darla, so she's got her little vest on, but she's a huge English sheepdog. And the guy that was with her, her handler, was just wonderful. And I thought, Disney's going to make a new movie called The Shaggy PA. Now, for those of you in the medical world, that's funny. I don't care who you are. That's a very funny joke. That was clever, and I deserve the applause. And I want you to go ahead, just remain seated. Yeah. But it's really cute, and it brightens up her day. I've been working on a new book. I've got two books coming out this year that are already in the can with my publisher, Fidelis Publishing. And then I'm working on a third book that will come out in 2026. And I've been reading some of that to Gracie, and she seems to like it, and she says it's very good. And so I sit there with her, and like I said, the nursing staff is great. I did get her Chick-fil-A the first night she was here, but I haven't done it since. She's gone back to her program. She said, I've been so sedentary, I don't want to eat a lot of Chick-fil-A. And that's wise, and I'm trying to watch what I eat, because hospitals are, you know, not known for helping you keep a diet. So, you know, we've kind of settled in here. It's all good. This ain't our first rodeo. This ain't our 40th rodeo. And I use this time wisely to be able to write and produce material and do my show. I mean, the audio is going to be a little different, and you may hear the housekeeping staff clanging around at times here at the hotel and people running down the hallways. I have to unplug the refrigerator that I've got in this room because it makes a lot of noise, but it's all good. It's all good. There's a reason I'm qualified to host a show for caregivers, I guess, isn't there? We're all in this together, and I'm glad you're here with me. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is Hope for the Caregiver. Healthy caregivers do indeed make better caregivers, and let's get healthy together. Starting today, today's a great day to start. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
As Christians, how can we even begin to impact others when we live in a culture where truth is relative? It all starts with God's Word. Join us for Activate Summit 2025 at Cadence Bank Conference Center in Tupelo, Mississippi, June 12th through the 14th, 2025. The theme is Biblical Bedrock, building on the authority of Scripture, and it's designed to help you acknowledge the Bible's authority and submit to the clear teaching of Scripture. Hear from Abraham Hamilton III.
The Lord has planted us here so that we make our space better.
Ed Battagliano.
We use those kind of terms, be the hands and feet of Jesus. What would Jesus do if he were here?
And Alex McFarland.
God created because it was his will.
The main sessions are for ages 13 and up, while Activate Kids is a separate track for ages 6 through 12. Register for Activate Summit 2025 by visiting activate.afa.net/summit.
Activate Summit 2025.
activate.afa.net/summit.
The Word of God tells us many times in one form or another, fear not. Many people are very fearful about some of the many perils and dangerous happenings that are going on in the world. Psalm 91 verses 1 and 2 tell us, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. I'm Joseph Parker, and we here at the American Family Association would like to remind you, fear not, put your trust in the Lord. We'd like to both encourage and challenge you to aggressively put your faith to work. And one way to do that is to pray Psalm 91 daily for yourself and your family and keep your trust in him. If you'd like to get a copy of the Psalm 91 prayer for yourself, email us here at psalm91@afa.net. Again, that's psalm91@afa.net.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger, and I'm so glad to be with you today. PeterRosenberger.com. PeterRosenberger.com. If you want to find out more about what we do, how we do it, why we do it, and who we're doing it for, go out and take a look. PeterRosenberger.com. And while you're there, you'll see a link. You'll see a lot of links. One of them is to my Substack page. And on my Substack page, I have an enormous amount of content. Now, you do have to give an email to be able to get it. I'm not charging you for the vast majority of it. There is a paywall on some stuff. I put out some premium stuff that you can do. That's entirely up to you. But every Monday, I put out a missive from my book, A Minute for Caregivers, When Every Day Feels Like Monday. And it is free, and you can take a look at it. And I would love for you to do so. And this latest one is one I've talked about on this program a lot. It's from the book, but and they're just 1 minute chapters. I mean, literally 1 minute. You can read them in 1 minute. I timed them all. Now, if I'm reading it and interrupting myself, it takes a little longer than 1 minute. Let's just be clear about that. So bear with me. But I wanted you to hear this one. I get an alert on my phone and through our devices like Alexa and so forth. We have a lot of those kinds of things. People say you shouldn't have it, and I'm like, oh no. They said, well, it's listening, and it's going to, and I'm saying, no, it's just do it. I have the same issue with my mother, because we were all the same thing with my mother, and I can tell you, my mother and my father spent a great deal of time counseling Alexa on her family issues and things that she'd had problems with her parents, because that's just my mom and my father. So I'm not terribly worried about Alexa overhearing things and sharing national secrets here in our house. They're going to learn a lot about caregiving, and they're going to learn a lot about what it's like to be married as a caregiver and a patient for 4 decades. But, you know, and maybe Jeff Bezos will do something with that. But anyway, I get alerts on my devices when there's any kind of weather. And just like 2 days ago, and I got one for our home in Montana, even though I'm down here in Colorado, where all the gangs are. No, I get this alert, and there was a big fog alert, we just had a lot of very cold winter. It was warming up, and then we had a fog alert, and you get pretty heavy fog where we are, and I'm sure where you are as well. Some of the worst fog I've ever had was going down to Fort Walton Beach one time. Gracie and I were driving down there from Nashville to visit her family, and we ran into a fog bank below Brewton, Alabama, heading down towards that way through Milton and everything else. I mean, it was intense. And then I just looked on the weather, by the way, and they had like almost 8 inches of snow in Fort Walton Beach, Panama City area, Destin, all that kind of stuff. It was crazy. Just crazy. And I thought, man, 1 week and Trump has already cured global warming. No, I'm just kidding. That's funny. I don't care who you are. That's funny. And so anyway, what does the Weather Service say about fog? It says, slow down. That tops the list of the directives from the National Weather Service to drivers encountering fog. Furthermore, they recommend doing what to your headlights when you're in a fog? By the way, if you hear sirens going on, I mean, that I'm right across the street from the hospital, so I hear more sirens here at one night than I hear all year where I live. But what does the Weather Service recommend doing with your headlights? Anybody? Do you have them on high beam or low beam? You have them on low beam because the high beams do what? They create a glare. Well, caregivers often find themselves in a fog where the actual fog, like you drive in and so forth, consists of water vapor. The caregiver fog consists of fear, obligation, and guilt. F-O-G, fog, fear, obligation, and guilt. Without exception, every caregiver will experience these difficult feelings in their journey. Fear, obligation, and guilt. Those of you who've been a caregiver for any length of time, and by that I mean 24 hours, have you had fear, obligation, and guilt in your journey? Any one of those things, or all three. They're not mutually exclusive, and they're not all hitting at the same time. Sometimes they do. But the National Weather Service directive also applies to us as family caregivers. When we're disoriented by the caregiver fog, what do? Slow down. Slow down. What do we do with the headlights? We turn them on low beam. We don't put them on high beam. Why do you use high beam lights? Because you want to see far ahead. You want to have more visibility. But you can't do that in a fog. You can't do that in a caregiver fog either. You turn those lights on low beam as caregivers. That means you quit trying to look too far down the road. If you do that, you're going to make yourself and others more agitated. It doesn't work. You're just going to get a glare back. You cannot see that far. We don't know what's going to happen. Now, we know the one who does, and we can trust him. Now, this is exactly why you see this over and over in Scripture. Thy word is a what unto my feet? A searchlight? No, it's a lamp. A lamp gives you enough light to see what? The next step. That's it. And that's all we're going to get many times in our journey as a caregiver. People have asked me about this and this and this with Gracie and all the things that we've been dealing with. And I'll say pretty much every time, I don't know. I don't know. And I'm okay with not knowing. We've got very good people around her. I'm not trying to look long-term down this road. I just deal with the next right thing, the next piece of real estate that I can put my foot on. And that's it. That's all I have. I was talking to a physical therapist yesterday, same one, by the way, that we've had for the last 4 years that's been down here. And she's just a wonderful lady and loves Gracie, and Gracie loves her. And I said to her, you got a plan? She said, yes, I do. And I said, good. Do you know how many times I asked her about what her plan was? None. You know why? Because I'm not a physical therapist. And I have good people around her that really know their business and they know Gracie. And I am very comfortable letting them do their job. I looked at her surgeon after the surgery and I said, how do you feel about it? He said, I feel really good about it. It was more of a mess in there than I thought it would be, but we got it cleaned out and I put this right where it belongs and I believe it's going to do exactly what it needs to do for her. And you know what I did? I thanked him. I said, great work. You know, and that's it. I mean, there was a time before I would just fret, but I got to tell you, I will be 62 this year. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Peter, you don't look a day over 61. Well, I'm not yet, but I will be. And, you know, I'm getting too old to be this way, to fret over this. I am. I'm just getting too old for this. It is exhausting to stay resentful. And if you go slow enough and don't try to look too far in the future, you could still drive even in a fog bank and not be freaked out. You know, a deer may jump out, but if you're going slow enough, you'll be okay. Another car may approach. If you're going slow enough, you'll be okay. That's the whole point. And I put a quote at the end of this from Douglas Horton. He said, "Drive slow and enjoy the scenery." Okay, that's nice. But he added, "Drive fast and join the scenery." I do not wish to join the scenery. I do not wish to hit a tree. I do not wish to go off the road, go into a ditch. I don't want to do all those things. I've done that. It is exhausting. It is expensive. It is painful. It is frustrating. And the only thing that I can do is to slow down and deal with today as it is, knowing that I have a Savior who's waiting for me tomorrow as He is with me right now. Now, the question is, do we believe this? As Christians, do we believe this? See, this it always comes down to this question, this implication of, we say these things, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul." Do we believe this? Gracie and I were singing together in the hospital the other day. That's how she copes. And I'm holding her hand. She can't sit up very much at all. She only for like minutes at a time. And then she has to be on her back or rolled on her side because they don't want this leg bending at all. It's very challenging for her. And so I'm holding her hand, which, by the way, she had a lot of lotion on her hands. Her hands felt really soft. And I was holding her hand, and we're singing one of our favorite songs, "He is our peace, who has broken down every wall." I wish I had the caregiver keyboard here, and I don't, and I'm sorry I don't. But so you'll just have to imagine in your head, and when I get back to my studio at home, then I will be glad to play this. But you know that song, "He is our peace, He is our peace. He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. He is our peace, He is our peace." And what does the bridge do? "Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. He is our peace, He is our peace." My question is, and that's from I think that's from one of Peter's letters. The bridge is, "Cast all your cares on Him." 1 Peter 5:7. In the English Standard Version, it says, "Casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you." The first part, "He is our peace, who has broken every wall," I think that came from Ephesians. But this part, "Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you." So my question to you and to myself, do we believe this? I mean, really, do we believe that? And if so, how would anyone know? What would be the telltale of this? What would be the evidence that we actually believe this? You know, I mean, it's that simple. When we start asking that kind of question of ourselves and others, it changes things, doesn't it? It forces us to deal with this. And this is the reality we have as caregivers, because what we deal with is so in our face and it's nonstop. Chronic, that's the whole point of chronic. We deal with it all the time. So I'm sitting here in a hotel room across the street. I'm getting ready to go over to be with Gracie, recording this show. I'm going to walk across in this dangerous neighborhood where there's a lot of bad hombres, you know, and I'm going to spend time with Gracie, read to her, just hang out. I may even interview her and just ask her what her thoughts are on some of these things. And we're going to help her heal through this process, get through all of next week. The following week, she has her second surgery of this particular run. That'll be her 88th operation. And you know how much time I want to waste fretting about this? None. You know why? Because He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. And that is Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger, and we will be right back.
Hey, moms and dads, are you at your wit's end? Hi, this is Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I'm so grateful for the partnership we have with American Family Radio. We share a common goal to bring hope to hurting families through the life-changing medium of radio. Be sure to listen Saturday afternoons at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Find help and hope for your family with Parenting Today's Teens.
The world around us is constantly challenging the way we think. That's why we need a constant source of information that's based on the unchanging Word of God. I'm Jeff Shambley, and I invite you to join me for The Stand Radio, a weekly program that highlights the latest trends in culture, faith, and family. You'll hear insightful interviews with a biblical worldview application. The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Some years ago, a 9-year-old girl wrote a wonderful essay called What is a Grandmother?
Here's today's Dr. Dobson Minute with Dr. James Dobson.
This is what the child said. Grandmothers don't have to do anything except to be there. They're old, so they shouldn't play hard or run. It is enough if they drive us to the market where the pretend horse is and to have lots of dimes ready. Or if they take us for walks, they should slow down past things like pretty leaves and caterpillars. Everybody should try to have a grandmother because they are the only grown-ups who have time. How's that for sheer wisdom from the pen of a child? Not only has this young author given us a marvelous picture of a loving grandmother, but she tells us in a few short words what children are really looking for. An adult who fully recognizes the finer things of life.
For more information, visit drdobsonminute.org.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver here on American Family Radio. This is Peter Rosenberger, and I am very glad to be with you today. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. While you're there, by the way, you might want to sign up for our e-letter. We offer it once a month. We don't do 1,000 a day. There's some people that do that. I particularly during the election season, it was crazy that you're just getting all these emails. We don't do that. And we don't sell or give it out to anyone else. It's just to let you know what's going on with us. We have several features that we do every month. We have the Patient of the Month. We'll talk about that in the next block. We'll talk about a new song that we wanted to share with you. We'll talk about a posting on my blog and then Gracie's blog as well. She's been doing one on dealing with chronic pain. She certainly knows a lot about it. She's been dealing with it since 1983. That's a long time to be in pain, isn't it? So there are a lot of different features out there that we just offer and share with you. Usually something I have on Substack. Or other news, but while you're there, sign up for it at HopeForTheCaregiver.com. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. Speaking of Gracie, I recorded just a brief conversation with her in the hospital. She's been in the ICU area following her surgery. Now she's on a regular room, but they are, you know, working on her. It's a long recovery, and she's got another surgery coming up on the 13th of February. But I thought you'd like to hear from her. I did this on my phone, so I apologize for the audio quality. There were nurses in the room and so forth. But Gracie, how are you doing?
I have breath in my lungs.
Well,
so
that's a good thing.
Right now, I'm concentrating on that.
That's a very good thing. The surgery went well. But the recovery is a little bit of a booger, isn't it?
Yes. The not being able to flex my leg is much more of a big deal than I thought.
You've got to lay straight and flat. Of course, you haven't been flat in a long time.
No, I've not.
Your legs would not stretch out all the way, and it's letting you know that it's awake now, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Any thoughts you have on this particular surgery, number 87? Getting ready for 88?
I would say don't have 87 surgeries would be my first thing. And then secondly, if you have to have this kind of surgery, try to breathe, which I have a, for some reason, I stop breathing when I'm in a lot of pain. That's not good.
You don't stop breathing involuntarily. You hold your breath.
No, I tend to hold my breath. Yes. So don't do that. And I'm saying a lot of don'ts instead of do.
Don'ts are good.
I'll say a do, though. Focus. Well, they gave me a little toy bear because I think I was breaking my nurse's hand, holding her hand. So it helps kind of like a stress ball.
See, I don't let you hold my hand when
you're in pain. I've noticed that.
I still need the caregiver keyboard.
I've noticed that.
I don't let you do that.
So
I learned that a long time ago.
You let other people's hands be broken.
You know what? We need to get you an artificial hand in here to hold.
That, you know, we can make that happen.
We can.
Since we do prosthetics.
Yes.
But so they gave me this little, he's a little cute bear or dog. I miss my baby so
much. You got your dog. For clarification.
Yes, my dog.
Don't worry, I speak fluent Gracie. You miss your dog. I understand that. But we're going to get you a new dog when we get home because your dog
We're not letting him, like, try to live on his own or something.
No, no, he's gone to that great kennel in the sky.
And I believe he is there.
He's on
the lap of Jesus.
Well, he's waiting for you there, but we'll get you a new one. But I didn't want to have a puppy running around while you're trying to learn how to walk again.
Yeah, that would be good.
That's not good.
But I can't wait to see the...
But they bring dogs in here to let you see.
I know.
Isn't that kind of neat?
Sadie and Darla.
Darla with the English sheepdog. And
she wears little tutus, yeah.
But she was huge. And I thought Disney was making a new movie called The Shaggy PA, which is very funny, by the way. And I've already asked for laughter on that.
Well, okay.
Nobody gives it.
The laugh track. I mean, I could try that.
I'll get a laugh track.
Except that I have the Viking laugh.
Yes, you do have a Viking.
Yeah, so it would be, it would be more.
No, you don't have to do it.
You don't want me to, okay.
No, it's okay.
You don't want me to test that?
No, it's okay. It's a family show, Gracie.
He says it, how would you just say it all the time?
Drunk Viking.
Yeah, drunk Viking. I sound like a drunk Viking. I don't know about drunk Viking, but.
Well, I don't know. I don't know a lot of drunk Vikings.
I haven't either. But every time you've said that, people go, well, is your heritage
drunk
Viking? You know, and I'm like, I don't know. You never know what's in there.
Thor Rosenberg.
I know. Or think about my maiden name, Parker. So Thor Parker.
This conversation's gone off the rails.
I know. But which is more lifelike.
Your nurse is here.
Yes,
and
thank
God. She's going to give you things to help with this screaming pain in your left hip and leg. But you're doing okay.
Yes,
you've actually done better than you probably even realize. This has been a very successful surgery for you. The recovery is just a real difficult recovery because it's painful, and I know that, and I hate that for you. Anyway.
But you and my doctor did a lot of front-end work.
Yes, that's why I'm America's caregiver.
That's right.
He's America's caregiver.
And that helps a lot.
All right, well, you get some rest.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, buddy. We had a chaplain, that is Gracie, and I just, like I said, recorded that on my phone. But we had a chaplain come by 2 days ago. It was really kind of funny. I didn't say anything because they're very sincere and lovely people. And this particular chaplain prayed for Gracie and asked God to bless her from the top of her head to the tip of her toes. Evidently, the chart was not read prior to, and I almost said, well, hold that thought. Let me go across the street to the hotel room and get her toes. But I didn't because I didn't do that, okay? I didn't. And y'all would have been proud of me for that I did not do that. But when you're praying for somebody, you might want to have a little bit of background information. I don't care who you are. That's funny right there. So, it's been a bit of a journey, and she's hanging tough, but she has a hard life. Just absolutely no question about it. And I found myself asking, some of the nurses and physical therapists and even doctors, that have come by, and they're getting younger and younger by the day. I was talking to one of the internal medicine doctors this morning. They're making rounds, and I said, look, thank you for the extra attention. She's been doing this a long time. I said, what were you doing in 1983? Well, none of these people were even born. And that's how long she's been dealing with this reality. And it's a hard journey. But we're going to get her through this. And we're going to do the next surgery here in a couple of weeks. And I anticipate her left leg being a little more solid and stronger, ready to put on her prosthesis and stand, and hopefully stand straight for the first time in a very long time. I don't know if they're going to let her stand before they work on the right leg or not. I really don't know at this point. They've got a plan, they said, and we're not pushing. They can't let her stay in one position because she'll get sores. So they have to kind of rotate her and turn her every 2 hours, that kind of thing. And it's pretty uncomfortable. She's a pretty good sport, and she has a goofy sense of humor, as you can tell. Yes, I will take credit for that. When I first met Gracie, she laughed and she was fun, but she was not sarcastic. You know, and I grew up with four brothers and a sister, and we speak fluent sarcasm. I mean, it was spoken around every day. Now, my father didn't. My father did not. My mother does. Dad was not his thing, but the rest of us did, and we still do. And Gracie, that was kind of unusual to her. She has one sister who's 4 years older, and so therefore, she didn't have that kind of boisterous, loud family that I had, where you learn to just tussle and squabble and everything else. You know, Gracie's house was very quiet. And Gracie, you know, was a serious person. She was dealing with serious things. And I noticed a lot of her friends and all that, they kind of, even past boyfriends, and I've met a few of them. Y'all don't tell anybody what I'm about to tell you, okay? There was this guy she broke up with in high school. And he evidently carried a torch for her for a very long time. And from her hometown, and nice guy, met him, very nice guy. Very, very nice guy. And I looked at him, this is decades later, and I said, she did you a favor. She'd have killed you. Graveyard dead. She'd have killed you. He didn't know quite how to respond, but Gracie is kind of a force of nature. This old fella, she did him a favor. But she's learned to be, you know, sarcastic and goofy and so forth. And I would like to take credit for some of that. I would like to think that I had a part in that. I don't know that the gift of sarcasm is a sanctioned spiritual gift or fruit of the Holy Spirit. I don't think it is, but it has served us well in our journey, which has been on a good day, challenging, and on a bad day, it's brutal. And you got to keep a sense of humor about it, and you got to keep goofy and so forth. And I was with the doctors, and they asked if I had any questions. I said, well, is Tourette syndrome a byproduct of this surgery? Gracie shot me a look, you know. But I do that intentionally. You know why? Because her life is very hard. And the more I'm able to kind of distract her and, you know, hit the barrel. You heard her say she holds her breath when she gets in pain, and you can't do that. Or as Trump would say, you're not supposed to do that. That's not good. It's not good. And so when I will kind of distract her or say something outrageously or goofy, it helps her explode that air out, and it keeps her breathing more robustly, and that's healthy for her. I mean, I'm not doing it because I'm so altruistic. I'm doing it because that's my nature, is to be just that big of an idiot. But it has an unintended side effect that it helps my wife, because her life is hard and she does not need me over there wringing my hands and crying and fretting and everything else. She needs me to let her know that it's going to be okay. And it is going to be okay. I don't know what it's going to look like in this life. So far, it's been 4 decades of hard. But I am assured of what it's going to look like in the next one. And we trust him with that. And that's our journey. That's why we do what we do. That's who we are. All that training I did, extensive training in developing this amazing gift I have of sarcasm, evidently it paid off. And I'm grateful that I'm able to bring a little levity in her life and quite frankly, in the lives of others who read my stuff and listen to my program. I remember when I first started doing the radio show, it was Jeff Foxworthy told me, he said, Peter, make them laugh. They need to laugh. It's an explosive valve of release. And you know more than most how painful this is. Make them laugh. So My goal is to hopefully make Gracie laugh on any given day, and hopefully she won't hold her breath. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is Hope for the Caregiver. We'll be right back. I'll never forget walking into the hospital room after Gracie had her second amputation. Both legs are gone now. And she looked at me. She said, "I know what I'm going to do." And I was kind of startled. I said, "Well, what are you going to do?" She said, "I'm going to help provide prosthetic limbs to my fellow amputees and tell them about Jesus." And I said, "Well, baby, can we get out of the hospital first?" But she never let it go. And for almost 20 years, we've been working out of Ghana, West Africa. We treat patients all over there from other countries that come there. We send supplies. We send teams. We sponsor patients. We work with a prison where inmates volunteer to disassemble used prosthetic limbs so we can recycle the parts. All of this because Gracie trusted God with her heartache. We've got a huge shipment of supplies that is being loaded up right now to go out soon. Would you help us do it? StandingWithHope.com/giving. StandingWithHope.com/giving. There's prosthetic feet, knees, pylons, sleeves, adapters, all kinds of connectors. All of these things we are sending over there so that people can walk. We're going to point them to Christ. Help us out. StandingWithHope.com/giving.
Your Caregiver Minute with Peter Rosenberger.
There is no scenario that Scripture speaks to that you cannot be content if you are trusting God with this. Now the question is, do we believe this or not? I got to tell you, I struggled with this for a lifetime. If we could just get through this surgery. And I had all these contingencies on my contentment. Until I came to understand that I can be content in anything. Will I trust him? Will I trust him with Gracie, surgery after surgery after surgery? Will I trust him when she's in so much pain she can't see straight? Will I trust him when I'm bone weary and doing laundry after laundry after laundry, grocery shopping, making meals, trying to work, doing this program while on the fly? Will I trust him with all these things? That's the invitation. And once I made that decision to accept this is our life, I learned to be content with it. With whatever God provides.
Hope for the Caregiver with Peter Rosenberger. Saturday mornings at 8 Eastern, 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Some glad morning when this life's over.
I'll fly away
to a home on God's celestial shore.
I'll fly away.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger, and are you going to fly away? I am. I love that song. That's why Gracie and I are able to laugh at a lot of these things, because we know that this ain't the end of the story. If it was, I want to tell y'all something. Don't you ever tell anybody what I'm about to tell you. Now, I mean that, but I helped Gracie write her first book. We're working on her second right now, but I helped her write her first one. And it's called Gracie, Standing with Hope. It's a great book. I hope you go out and get it. It's a wonderful book. But I promise you this, when we started writing it, I came this close to making the title of that book, "You Gotta Be Kidding, This Can't Be My Best Life Now." But I didn't think Joel Osteen would be all that happy with me. And, you know, I didn't want to cause any problems. I wasn't looking for trouble. I wasn't looking for trouble. But, you know, there is a point where you realize as believers, do we actually adhere to what the Apostle Paul said when he says the things in this world, the suffering here, the challenges we face are not worthy to be compared. Do we actually believe that? And if so, how would people know? What would that look like? And I would suggest to you that it looks like keeping a sense of humor when all this craziness is going on in our life, to keep reminding each other that
some glad morning when this life's over,
I'll fly away.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. And that's what I hope to do with Gracie. A pastor friend of mine told me that I have the heart of a pastor, but I really only have a congregation of one. I mean, and that's Gracie. And my job is to constantly point her to Christ so that the despair and the heartache and the pain and the sorrow and everything that she carries doesn't overwhelm her. That is my sole mission with her, is to shepherd her through this brutal journey that she has. And I, you know, I do that on this program for you and others, but my primary is for her. And how am I going to do that if I don't believe it? How am I going to do this if it hasn't radically changed my life? There's you know, you can't, I've seen people fake it for a while, but you can't fake it for four decades. Let me just put that out there, okay? You can't, this is unsustainable apart from Christ, what Gracie and I deal with. It is unsustainable. There has to be something greater than me. I gave out my experiences, my abilities, whatever I brought to the table gave out a long, long time ago. It didn't last hardly any time. But what God gives, it's eternal. That is the hope of us. Christ in us, the hope of glory, Scripture says. And so Paul was doing this, writing these exhortations to us while bearing the scars on his own body. Pain, beatings, bruising, stonings, whippings, floggings, shipwreck. I mean, he goes through the whole litany of all the things that he's endured. And he said, none of this is worthy to be compared. Christ, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, set his face like flint. And, you know, these are things that stick with me and weigh heavy on me as I go in to Gracie's hospital room every single day here, and then when we get home as I take care of her, knowing that I have one mission, point her to Christ. Because if I point her to me, she is in bigger trouble, much bigger trouble than she already is. Oh, love that will not let me go, as the hymn writer said. I'm sorry I don't have the caregiver keyboard. I'd play it for you. It's a great hymn. But you go back and look through the hymnal, and you start seeing all of these texts of hymn writers who arrived at that same place I'm talking to you about. And that's why we do what we do, because we arrived there because God brought us there to show enough of himself to sustain us in these things. You know, and that's one of the reasons we started the prosthetic limb ministry. Gracie had that vision herself of being able to put legs on her fellow amputees and tell them about Jesus, to offer the same hope that sustains her. That's what we do. That's why I started this program. The same hope that sustains me through these journeys as a caregiver, I want to pass on to you all. And you have been gracious enough to allow me to do so. And I'm just telling you, I would love to tell you that I'm wise. I would love to tell you that I've figured all these things out myself. I haven't. Y'all know me better by now. Y'all know how goofy I am. I'm not speaking on my own authority. This is what the Scriptures say. This is what I have seen and witnessed. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast and our eternal home. You know, Isaac Watts understood that concept. John Newton, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Twas grace that brought us thus far, and grace will lead us home. You know, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed. Now, when Gracie sings that song, and she sings it very well, by the way, when she sings that, you have to understand the context of what she's saying, all that I have needed. She's missing both legs. She's in pain all the time. And yet she sings that song. Her nephew was telling me this when I was playing a song of hers that you can hear out on go out to her website at hopeforthecaregiver.com, and you can see the music there. It's called Thankful. She did a great job of this, and I would highly recommend you downloading this and just listening to her sing this. It's phenomenal. And he said, boy, when Aunt Gracie sings a song, it really takes on a whole different meaning, doesn't it? Yes, it does. It absolutely does, because her story is, it's framing everything she's bringing to the table musically. And by the way, if you'll hear a lot of background noises, a lot of high volume of ambulances and all that stuff. I'm right across the street from the hospital, and I'm doing this in a hotel room, and I cannot find a soundproof booth anywhere. So y'all just have to be family, all right, while I'm down here. Y'all just going to have to be family. But if Gracie's story frames every song she sings, so I want to ask you a question. What is your story framing? What songs are you singing that is being framed by your story? What is this limited to Gracie? I don't think so. Is it limited to me? No. I see nowhere in Scripture where it singles Gracie and me out that we are to do these things. We are being encouraged for all of us to do these things. Comfort one another with the same comfort you yourself have received from the God of all comfort. Paul says it very clearly in Corinthians. So my question to you is, what are you doing? When you take on something, does it change everything? Does the listener of whatever it is you're doing, whether you're reading a passage of Scripture out loud, whether you're sharing a hymn, whether you're, you know, making something, art, whatever, it doesn't matter. Whatever you do, whatever skills you bring to the table, are those things enhanced because of the redemptive work of Christ in your life? And do people see that and resonate with it? It's a good question, isn't it? I think that's the question for all of us. If we really believe these things, how would people know? And there is no doubt, you may not believe what Gracie believes. You may not agree with whatever she purports from her faith. I've seen her perform an audience all across the country and filled with people that are from all kinds of faiths and no faith. And they didn't necessarily agree with her. But I'll tell you this, they had no doubt that she believed it. They had no doubt that she believed it. And that, I think, is a great testament. And I think that's an extraordinary statement to make about anybody, any of us. Do people have doubts on whether we believe what we say we believe? The reason you listen to this program, that you even give me the time of day to be able to spend this time with me, is because you've had things in your life that are pretty brutal. And you want to hear from somebody who has weathered credible stormy blast, as I referenced that hymn a moment ago. And I've got them. I'm in them right now. And my hope is that this will give you the courage to take that extra step out and start putting yourself out there. I've told you about this. My father impressed this so much on me with everything of his ministry. God is not doing all the redemptive work in your life to keep you in the workshop. He wants to put you on display. We are his workmanship, and God likes to show his workmanship off. And that's you and me. You say, Peter, I got a lot of scars. I'm not much to show off. Let God worry about that, okay? You just be obedient to testify to what you have seen, witnessed, touched, and experienced in the redemptive work of Christ, okay? Hey, listen, by the way, speaking of the prosthetic limb ministry, we're picking up a bunch of supplies from the prison that we work with in Arizona. CoreCivic runs this. Inmates volunteer to help us disassemble these legs and then use the components to build new legs. And we're picking all that up this week, and we're going to be shipping it over to Africa. If you could be a part of that, we would be very grateful. Go to standingwithhope.com and see how you can get involved today. Standingwithhope.com to help give the gift that keeps on walking. Let's go out and be his workmanship to a world that desperately needs to see it. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is Hope for the Caregiver. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. We'll see you next time.